Okay, but we learned last week, and we're right in the middle of a question on it, that the Mr. is going to ask is, sometimes that what prevents a person from being a Zoriz is that he's too concerned and too worried about his health or circumstances that could harm him or whatever. He's overly cautious about things. There's a word for a person like that who's doesn't have to be,
anxious,
anxieties, maybe. Yeah. So he's what's it called? He feels very insecure, and he's always afraid of his health.
Paranoid.
Yeah, that's a good word. Okay, but it doesn't have to be to that extent either. It doesn't have to be an illness. Just that person who's overly cautious. We'll see in one second what the line is, perhaps. Okay. He says, so that is what's it called? That is, and therefore a person should not be so cautious and not be afraid, you know, if he goes out to a shear, he'll catch a cold because it's cold out or it's rainy. Or, you know, there may be wild pigs roaming the moshav, and therefore I just don't want to go outside because I don't want to be eaten by a wild pig or something like that. Right, that's, don't have to be so afraid and so cautious, okay, and so anxious. Okay, now, the Mishul Shasharim asks the following. Shema Tomar, okay, maybe you'll say to me, that's not true. It's very important to be careful of your health and not to put yourself in dangerous situations, harmful situations. Shema Tomar Hari Motzinu, that the Chachamim were mechayev of a person not to put himself into dangerous situations and watch himself and guard himself from harm. Even if he knows he's a tzaddik, and a person has a tremendous amount of zechuyos, because he does a tremendous amount of maisim tovim, still he shouldn't rely on his tzidkus or his zechuyos, the omru, hakol bidei shamayim chutz mitzinim upachim, that everything's in the hands of heaven, except where a person puts himself in the situation where he exposes himself to cold or to hot, and he can get sick because of that, or harmed, right? Or he puts himself in a place where he can fall into a trap, literally, right, or fall off a mountain or something like that, right, do things that are dangerous, so he's not supposed to do that. He's supposed to protect himself and guard himself from dangerous things. He's supposed to be anxious and cautious. Umikra kosuv is a pasuk that tells me that you have to guard your health and guard your safety. V'nishmarta mi'ol v'nafsho seichem. Right, so it says, that's one pasuk. The Gemara brings down two psukim for this. Both of them, lechora, have nothing to do with guarding your health. Yet it seems from the Gemara that, and it seems from poskim who quote these psukim, that it's a legitimate limud, even to the point where there are some that say it's a mitzvah min ha-Torah. If you don't watch your health, and you do things that are unhealthy, then you're over an issur d'oraisa. You're at least over an issur d'rabbanan. So what is the makor? So there's two psukim. One is shmor lecha, raki shomer lecha u'shmor nafshecha ma'od. Guard your nefesh, your life, very much. So that seems to imply that you should guard your life and do things that are safe. Or v'nishmarta mi'ol v'nafshoseichem. Be very, very careful of your nefesh, which means your physical being. There's only one problem. That if you look at the context of these psukim, they have nothing to do with guarding your health, seemingly. One pasuk is talking about forgetting Maimed Har Sinai. Raki shomer lecho shmor nafshecha ma'od. Be very, very careful. Pentishkach es advarim asher ro'i necha, lest you forget what you saw at Har Sinai. Ufen yasuru milvavcha kol yemei chayecha, vahodatem levanecha v'levnei vanecha, yom asher amadet lefnei Hashem alokecha b'chorev. Very careful that you don't forget what you saw on Sinai, and you should relate it to your children and your children's children the day you stood at Har Sinai. And the Ramban learns as a prohibition of forgetting Maimed Har Sinai. The mitzvah to remember, just as a mitzvah to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, there's a mitzvah to remember Maimed Har Sinai. Now the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says that pasuk tells me something else. That anybody who forgets anything from his learning is over this Isser of Nishmarta Me'olah Nafshecha. If you forget your Torah learning, and the Gemara says doesn't mean that you forgot it because you got sick, because that you can't control. Right, person got amnesia, or he got Alzheimer's or something. He's not over this issue, okay? But it's talking where you sit and make yourself forget it. So that's a little difficult, right? To sit and say, "Well, I'm going to forget this thing," and you really concentrate on forgetting it. You'll never forget it. So what it means is, you sit means you don't review it. Sit means yoshev, means you are inactive, don't review it. And meshiro milibo, and in that way, automatically, you forget it. If you don't review something, you forget it. So if you don't review something, you sit inactively and don't review it, then you forget it. So that's, you're over this issur of forgetting Divrei Torah. So first of all, they ask on the Ramban, before we get to, so it has nothing really to do with guarding your health. It has to do with guarding yourself that you don't forget going to Har Sinai by not reviewing what you learned. So first of all, they ask on the Ramban. The Ramban says, from this pasuk we learn that you're not allowed to forget Maimon Har Sinai. And yet the Mishnah says that it comes to tell me you shouldn't forget anything that you learn. So how do they go together? So the answer I'd like to give, I don't know if others give it or not, there's other answers to it. And that is the following. If you, when you learn Torah, constantly remember the source of the Torah and Maimon Har Sinai, that when you learn Torah, you're learning it mamish, like you're being told God is giving it to you right now. It leaps off the pages, and it is God's word to you, right? You're remembering it in the context of Maimon Har Sinai. Maimon Har Sinai continues on through Limud HaTorah, and if you really relate and learn Torah in a way that you picture yourself receiving it at Sinai, or as a hemshech of Har Sinai, you'll never forget it. Right, I guarantee the people who stood at Har Sinai and saw the kolos who brought him, whatever, didn't forget the Torah. They may have had a yetzer hara to do things wrong, but they didn't forget what they saw. It was indelibly imprinted on their neshamas. So if you don't forget Maimon Har Sinai, you'll never forget learning, Torah learning. But if you don't relate the Torah learning to Maimon Har Sinai, then you're going to forget your Torah learning. So they really go hand in hand. That's one of the ways that they explain this Ramban. That the fact that you forgot something you learned means that you forgot Maimon Har Sinai. Because if you would remember Maimon Har Sinai, it would be fresh in your mind. You could never forget any Torah you learned. That's that's how they explain the Ramban. But in any case, it comes either to tell me, or both to tell me, that you should remember Maimon Har Sinai, just like you remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, and experience it on an ongoing basis if you were there, and Memela, not to forget learning. But the pasuk is not telling me that you guard your health. That's out of context completely. The same thing with the second pasuk. The context of the second pasuk is very simple. V'nishmartem ol nafshotechem, be very careful of your life. Ki lo re'isem kol tmuna b'yom dibra Hashem aleichem b'har mitocha esh. You saw no form when God spoke to you. Be very careful that you don't make the mistake to think that God has a form. Because God is no form. Because you didn't see any form when God spoke to you. You just heard a voice. You didn't see any form. So that's an isser of believing that God is corporeal. That he has a body. That he has a form. Okay? The Rambam says that anybody who believes that the Rambam has a form is an apikoros. It's one of the 13... Ikore Hadas. The Ravid says that you're not allowed to believe that God has a form. He doesn't. But if you do, you're not an apikoros. Somebody who's small-minded and pictures God as an old man sitting on a throne or whatever is not an apikoros. He's infantile. It's not really the way it is. Ravid doesn't hold that God's an old man sitting on a throne. But if you picture God like that, it doesn't make you an apikoros, says the Ravid. The Rambam says, in fact, the Ravid says it in extremely strong language against the Rambam. He says, better people than him believe that, than the Rambam, right? Better apikursim than him believe that there were, the God had a form, or whatever. In any case, so that's the context of the pasuk. It has nothing to do with guarding your health. So how in the world did Chazal learn from these psukim, take it out of context completely, that there's an inyan of the nishmartim yolda nafshoseichem, to guard your health, guard your well-being, or shmor lecho, shmor nafshecha ma'od, same thing, when the context of the psukim is completely different. So I was thinking the following. Even though it says that the way that a person forgets the Torah is by sitting and taking it out of his heart, which can mean that he doesn't review it, like we said, there's another way that you could be culpable of forgetting your Torah. If you get sick because you caused yourself to get sick, and because you got sick, you forgot the Torah because of your sickness. But you, if you would have guarded your health and you wouldn't have gotten sick, you wouldn't have come to the forgetting. But because you didn't guard your health and you got sick, therefore you forgot. That's not something that tokfa la mishnaso, or you got old, or you got Alzheimer's. But you caused yourself to get sick, and when you were sick, you forgot your learning because of the sickness. And you brought the sickness upon you, then that's also part of this. Don't do anything that will cause you to forget Torah. And therefore, just like there are things that spiritually make you forget, kosher l'shikcha, and according to many opinions, you're not allowed to eat those things or do those things because of this prohibition of forgetting the Torah, because you're causing yourself to forget by doing these things, by eating these things or whatever. And therefore some hold that this issue does not apply to women, because only men have a chiyuv of learning Torah, so they only have a chiyuv of remembering Torah. But a woman doesn't have to learn Torah altogether, so she doesn't have to remember it. So a woman, therefore, can do those things that are kosher l'shikcha, according to some opinions. Because since it's linked to remembering Torah and not forgetting it, right, there's nothing wrong with her, you know, having a bad memory or whatever. For a man, it is. But just like you see, that there are things you can do that are not healthy, spiritually or whatever, that'll make you forget. So there are things physically that if you make yourself sick or you put yourself in danger, you're going to end up forgetting Maamid Har Sinai, either because you're going to be dead or because you're going to be sick. And a person who's sick, what's it called, is not able to review his learning, is not able to concentrate on it, or forget it. So included in forgetting your learning is, what's it called, is included the mitzvah of guarding your health, so you'll have a good memory.
According to that, then the iser of, or the chiyah to guard your health is only those things you're just going to potentially have a...
Yeah, it could be. No, but it could be that since there are things that apply to that, so then the Rabbanan took it and extended it to everything. Since there is a source, at least here, for guarding your health. Right?
It still could be enough to mean if it's the rest of the Rabbanan.
Yeah, but at least there's some kind of connection. That's all. There's a connection. Right? It's not completely removed from the context of the pasuk. Yeah. And then it shouldn't apply to women too, according to this. Right? Women should be allowed to do things that will make them sick. But no, since there's this idea of guarding your health because of this repercussion, the Rabbanan extended it to other things also. Okay. But at least there's some kind of connection to the context of the pasuk. The other one, be very careful because you didn't see any form. So according to the Rambam, it could be the same thing, right? A person is an apikoris, so the halacha is by an apikoris, moridim velomayim, that if people have the chance, they can wreak harm and get rid of this apikoris. It's a mitzvah per se, it doesn't apply today, but it's a mitzvah to get rid of apikorsim. In other words, if you have a college professor who's an apikoris, who is spewing apikorsis, even though he's a nice little old man, that doesn't really harm anybody physically, there's a mitzvah, if you can get rid of him and get away with it, to do it. Okay, don't go now and look for college professors because it doesn't apply today. I'll explain to you in a second why. Okay, so don't run out of here, you know, especially these guys over here. Sounds great. Okay, it doesn't apply today. Get to it. Why? In any case, a mitzvah. And the Gemara even gives you eitzes how to do it and get away with it. For instance, the guy falls into a well, and he's treading water, and there's a ladder in the well, and he's just ready to grasp onto the ladder and get up, and you go over to the well and you say, oh, my kid's, you know, ball is on the roof, I need the ladder. So tread water, and I don't know if I can get back before 2 weeks, so let's just call it tread water for the next 2 weeks, and I'll be back with the ladder. And that's it. Guy's gone. You come back 2 weeks later, Nebuchadnezzar, not there anymore. And you know, you thought really, you didn't think he was in that much of a danger. I really needed the ladder. The kid was crying. So that's the way to do it. Okay.
When did it stop applying?
What?
When did it stop applying?
Ah, I'll tell you in a second. So the Chazon Ish says it doesn't apply today. When did it apply? In the time when there was a Beis HaMikdash, and people could see a relationship between Averas and what's it called? Punishment, results in nature, whatever. Right? In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when Klal Yisrael were keeping the Torah, then if they didn't keep it, they saw the results almost immediately. Torah says, if you don't keep the mitzvahs, if you're not Omer Batorah, it won't rain. Won't rain. So the weatherman didn't get on the radio or television and say, we have a low system over here and winds at this speed and we predict that in 3 days it's going to rain. He got up and he said, we made a survey and most Jews are keeping the mitzvahs and 3 days it's going to rain. Right, those were hidden miracles, because rain has nothing to do with mitzvahs and from the physical standpoint, but that's what happened. People saw it all the time. And they saw the Nevi'im came and they said that you didn't do what's right and your arm's going to fall off or shrivel up or all the other things that they saw mamish, schar, onish right in front of them. Okay, so then people understood that if you don't do mitzvahs or you do averas, it's harmful. And therefore they understood that an apikoros is harming the world. Okay, let me explain to you what the Chazon Ish means and why today that wouldn't apply. Imagine the following, okay? Imagine there is a sniper on top of, you know, top of Rami Levy, okay? And he is shooting indiscriminately everybody who comes down the road. Men, women, children, and he's barricaded up there, and they've tried every way. They first tried, you know, talk him down, right? Let's talk about this and discuss it, modern, you know, methods of education, right? And they tried it on this guy, and he shot all the psychiatrists that, and which probably
he's
was
not so bad,
right? Right, I'm saying probably was a bracha to the world. In any case, so he got rid of them, and that didn't work. Then they send some guys, you know, to try to force them off the roof or whatever, and they couldn't get up there. He shot them also. And they tried everything. And the only thing they can do now is get some better sniper to shoot the guy through the head and get rid of him. Okay? And somebody is able to do that. Would that person be looked upon as a murderer or a hero? Obviously hero. Okay, because this guy is killing people left and right, and the only way they can stop him is by shooting him. So you shoot him, you're a hero. Everybody understands that, because they see the damage he's causing. Chazal say, Godol hamachtio yosu min ahargo. Somebody kills you, he kills you in this world. He doesn't affect your olam haba necessarily. But somebody who makes you sin affects your olam haba, and he kills you in this world and the next world. So therefore, somebody who is spewing apikorsis is worse than a person who is a sniper. Right? Mitzrayim harmed us physically. You're not allowed to hate a Mitzri. But Ammon and Moab made us sin. Right? Midian made us sin. By Midian it says, Soros ha-Midyonim, the Kisim osam, then we had to get rid of. Because Godol ha-Machtio Yosem, somebody makes you sin is worse than somebody who kills you. So if that's the case, if you could see clearly that somebody who spews apikorsis is causing destruction, right? Killing people, left and right, right? It's like spiritual pollution. Somebody who's a sinner in that kind of way, right? Even though you don't see the results, but you know that he's, what's it called? He's like spewing radiation all over, killing people. So if you could see that clearly, somebody who would kill that person is a hero. And it's clear. And people would understand he's a hero, just like they'd understand the sniper's a hero. Nobody would say he's a murderer, unless you're part of the ACLU or something like that. But in any case, otherwise, you know, normal people would not think the guy's a murderer. They think he's a hero. Right? Today, you can understand the marshal I always like to give is, today there are people who believe, whether it's true or not is irrelevant, but there are people who believe that if you spray your deodorant and it has fluorocarbons in it, so it breaks down the ozone layer of the atmosphere and it lets in radiation that would be stopped by the ozone layer, and the radiation can cause all kinds of diseases. So imagine, right, if a person said, you know, I'm minding my own business, I'm in my privacy in my own bedroom, and I'm spritzing my underarms with this deodorant, but I'm releasing fluorocarbons into the atmosphere, and it's destroying the ozone layer, and if it would be, you know, really intense, where, for argument's sake, every time you spritzed your underarms, it broke up a window of the ozone layer 10,000 miles away or whatever, you know, and it rained down radiation on some poor, you know, Mexicans or whatever, and gives them all terrible diseases where they're going to die violently, you know, within the next 3 months. So you couldn't say, well, I'm minding, you know, my own business, my own bedroom, it's privacy, nobody has a right to tell me what I can spritz my underarms with. Yes, we can, because you are polluting the air and causing 10,000 Mexicans to die violent deaths. Okay, so nobody would have any, and if the guy says, well, I'm going to spritz my underarms anyway, and we couldn't stop him, right, to save those 10,000 lives or to save the world, anybody who would kill this guy would be doing a mitzvah, even though he's only spritzing his underarms. But l'maisi, he's causing havoc in the world. So in a time, says the Chazon Ish, when it was clear that there was a correlation between apikorsis and destruction in the world, somebody who killed an apikoros was a hero. But today we don't see that correlation. We may believe it, but we don't see it, right? And therefore, give you the following story that really happened. I must have been in high school when it happened. Maybe somebody remembers it. Years ago, it was in, where was it? In
the 1970s?
Yeah, the 70s. I think it was either in Philadelphia or in
Kent College?
No. What happened was like this. There was this is before, you know, the big Baal Tshuva movement. And Baal Tshuva were far and few. So there was a kid, Detroit, that's what happened. There was a kid in Detroit who became frum. He grew up in a conservative family, conservative temple, and he became frum. And when he became frum, he realized that his conservative rabbi had been misleading him his whole life and denied him, right, knowing the truth of Torah for so many years, which he only discovered when he was in his late 20s. And he felt that this rabbi really did him harm. So he came home and went to the conservative temple during, don't get any ideas from this, during Shabbos davening. And in the middle of the rabbi's sermon, he shot him dead. Okay, right? On Shabbos, yeah, on Shabbos. The,
right.
What?
Doesn't it say in Bogan Seer that you let him, if your rabbi doesn't teach you the right way, that you let him,
I don't know such a Gemara. In any case, he shot him dead. Now, I just told you the story. What was the first thing that crossed your mind about this guy? He's a nut. No? Didn't everybody think that? Right? The guy was obviously deranged. Right? Normal people don't go and shoot the rabbi in the middle of his drasha, even if it's long. Right? I remember when I first came here, everybody in the shul was carrying guns. That was the day when everybody was, you know, Rambo, whatever. Remember what it used to be like over here. And I remember getting up to speak, and everybody has their guns out, you know, right? And I imagined to myself that I heard the safeties, like, you know, going off as the drusher was getting longer. Very intimidating. So, okay, so what everybody knows, the guy is nuts. That's what you think of. Then you think, well, maybe not, you know, the mice of the conservative Rabbi Tak was misleading people, and he was worse than killing them, and this guy was really a hero. He rid the world of this evil polluter. But that's not the way we look at it, right? The Maisa, you may think like that intellectually after a lot of understanding and thought, but we don't see it like that. We see that this guy is nuts. So therefore, it doesn't bring to a Kiddush Hashem, like the hero destroyed evil. It brings to a Chilul Hashem. People think less of the Rabbanu Shlomo and less of religion and less of the Torah because of such a thing. So this kind of thing is supposed to bring a Kiddush Hashem to the world, brings a Chilul Hashem. So the Chazon Ish says today, it can't apply. Nobody sees it like that. It will only make more of a Chilul Hashem. And therefore the whole purpose of it is better to leave this guy around and not to have another Chilul Hashem, which is even greater than what he's doing. Okay,
but if we could be done in private?
You've done in private completely?
Yeah.
Yeah, but even the guy himself isn't doing it l'shem shamayim 100% because he doesn't realize, nobody realizes 100%. That's what the Chazon Ish also saying. If you kill, you know, Esav was considered a murderer because he killed Nimrod. The Chazon Ish, Nimrod, you can't get a bigger Russia than that. And it was in a time when you could really, you know, see the rishus that Nimrod did. And still, Chazal say that Esav was chayev for shvichas damim. He killed, he was a hero. He killed Hitler. Nimrod was the biggest Rosh in the world. He was mamri kol olam mitzvah. The only thing is, why did Esav kill Nimrod? Not because he was a Rosh. Not because he wanted to rid the world of a Rosh. Because he wanted his clothes. Right? He had the clothes of Adam Arisha, and Esav wanted them. So if you kill Hitler because you want his uniform, you're a merotzeach. If you kill Hitler because you want to rid the world of rishus, you're a hero. But it depends on your kavana. So what an aveira lishma is not an aveira, but an aveira shalom lishma is an aveira. So he, even though he killed Nimrod and there was a big toeles, l'maisi, he did it with the wrong kavana. So even if you do it privately, no one is on that madrega that they're doing it mamish l'shem shamayim. So maybe this guy, Taka the Drasha was too long, or maybe he didn't like this conservative rabbi, or maybe the guy didn't, you know, rub him the wrong way. So we decided that he's going to kill him, also l'shem shamayim, but really, deep down, it was for other reasons. So therefore, probably even a private doesn't apply. So, how do we get on this? Oh yes, so therefore, what's it called? Reading the world of an apikoros is a mitzvah. And not only that, even if you don't read him, but putting yourself into a matzav, where marita v'lo mailin, where you are hefker, so obviously you're also prone to own shem in hashamay. Therefore, why? Since, like the Rambam says, a person who believes that God is a corporeal being has a din of an apikoros, so he is putting himself in dire danger, both from being annihilated by other people and by getting an onus from the Rabbanu Shalom. Right? It's an intense thing. So therefore, be very careful, because you didn't see any form, and if you're going to do that, you're going to be harming your health. You're putting yourself in a health. That's one way. It's a little contrived, but that's one way of possibly. I have a better way of understanding it, though. So that's one possible connection between the context of the sentence and guarding your health. The other way, I think, is much better. That mamish fits perfectly together. A person who doesn't care about his health, and not doesn't care about it, but he doesn't feel anxious about his health. He basically feels, you know, I can do anything and I'll be healthy. Okay. A person who thinks that God is a body, okay, and and you see that God's a body and yet no harm comes his way, so I could be a body too and no harm will come my way. But if you believe that God couldn't be a body, because bodies are finite and vulnerable, and God is beyond all of that, and therefore he can't be a body, then you understand that people who have bodies are vulnerable. And they're not infinite. They're finite and vulnerable, and a body, right, needs to be watched. So if you throw caution to the wind, and you think that your body could exist without any caution, then you could possibly believe that God could be a body too. But if you're very cautious about your health, you realize how vulnerable you are, then you'll never come to think that God is a body, because you understand how people with bodies are very vulnerable and have to constantly be careful that their bodies don't break down on them. So if you don't care for your health and you don't think about how vulnerable you are, and you think you are invulnerable, then you could come to think that God could have a body too. But if you're very careful of your health, and you realize how vulnerable human beings are, then you couldn't ever possibly think that God could be a Baal Guf, because you know how vulnerable Baal Guf are, and that can't be God. So, in order to really guard yourself, that you shouldn't think that God has a body, guard your health and understand how vulnerable people with bodies are. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you're invulnerable. Because if you do, then you'll think that God could be like that too. So that could be another connection. In any case, whatever the connection is, this Mesil Sesharim says, Chazal learned from these psukim, however they did it, that there's a mitzvah, whether it's from the Torah or only rabbinic, but it definitely is a mitzvah to guard your health and not to do things that are unhealthy. Okay, and not to do things that are dangerous. And that's what he says. He says, V'omru hako, okay, V'umikra kosu v'nishmartam yol v'nafso seichet. Therefore, a person shouldn't be sure about himself and have bitachon, well, God will protect me. No, I have to worry that maybe God won't protect me and maybe something will happen to me. And even if you're going to do a mitzvah, so maybe you'll say, no, I'm talking about where you want to go daven, you want to go learn. So you're doing a mitzvah. So you don't have to worry about harm when it comes to mitzvahs. Not true. Because even with dvar mitzvah, you have to be careful. Okay, so if that's the case, then what are we talking about? On the one hand, the Mesil Sesharim says sometimes what prevents a person from really being gung ho and azaris and doing mitzvahs with a tremendous amount of enthusiasm and speed is that I'm very cautious, that I'm afraid if I do it, I'm going to get hurt, I'm going to get sick. Says the Mesil Sesharim, don't worry about that. What are you worrying about getting sick? What are you worrying about getting hurt? Just have bitachon of the Rabban Shalom, don't let that stop you from the mitzvah. And then he said, is that true? Chazal said, you have to worry about being sick, and you have to worry about being hurt. And even with Dvar Mitzvah, right, that you have to take in consideration, and you can't rely on miracles. And even if a miracle be done, it takes it off your schuyos, right? You detract from your merits. So you're going to end up getting less Olam Haba because of it. So, what is it? Are you supposed to be concerned? Not supposed to be concerned. I'm telling you, be a zoriz and don't be concerned about these things. And the Chachamim told you, you should be concerned about it. So which is it? That's the question. Da. So the answer he says is, ki yesh yira v'yesh yira, yesh yira yiru'uya v'yesh yira shota. There's a difference between being anxious in a proper way, and that yira is proper. And then there's being anxious and afraid in a stupid way, in a foolish way, and that's improper. What is the foolish way, and what is the proper way? Tune in next week. Okay.